And so? Zhang Hansan asked. And so our Russian neighbors have the luck of the devil, Fang Gan replied, handing the folder over to the senior minister without portfolio. What we could do with such blessings. Indeed. I had planned for this, you know. First the Japanese failed us, and then that religious fool in Tehran, Zhang groused. Had either of our supposed allies performed as promised, the gold and oil would now be ours. Alas, fortune did not smile upon us, and so the oil and gold are not ours. For the moment, Zhang murmured. What was that? Huh? Oh, nothing, my friend. And with that, the discussion turned to domestic matters. It lasted a total of 75 minutes before Fang went back to his office. There began another routine. Ming, Fang called. The secretary stood and scampered after him, closing the door. New entry, Fang said tiredly, for it had been a lengthy day. Regular afternoon meeting with Zhang Hansan, and we discussed, his voice went on, relating the substance of the meeting. Ming duly took her notes for her minister's official diary. The Chinese were inveterate diarists, and besides that, members of the Politburo felt both an obligation for scholarly history and a personal need for personal survival to document their every conversation on matters concerning national policy. That this meant his personal secretary had access to the most sensitive secrets of the land was not a matter of importance, since these girls were mere recording and transcription machines. They had also tracked down the name of Klementy Ivanich Suvorov. He was yet another former KGB officer. Oleg Provalov turned a few more pages in Suvorov's package, found a photograph and fingerprints. Had he known Amalric and Zimyanin, the supposed and deceased killers of Avseyenko the Pimp? He'd assumed from the beginning that the Pimp had been the real target, but if this Suvorov fellow had hired Amalric and Zimyanin to do the killing, why would a former, he checked the file, lieutenant colonel in the third chief directorate of the KGB go out of his way to kill a pimp? Was not Sergei Golovko an equally likely target for the killing, and would that not also explain the murder of the two supposed killers for eliminating the wrong target? Whoever Suvorov was, he'd been a contract killer, and therefore someone else had made the decision to do the killing. But who? And why? He called Ustinov. Maybe he could run Suvorov down. Okay, George, let's have it, Ryan said. After the daily intelligence briefing, the Secretary of the Treasury was Ryan's first appointment 2 or 3 days of the week. The PRC. The trade negotiations have hit the wall pretty hard. They just don't want to play ball. What are the issues? Hell, Jack, what aren't the friggin' issues? That new computer company their government started up is ripping off a proprietary hardware gadget that Dell has patented. They're just dropping the things into the boxes they make for their own market and the ones they just started selling in Europe. That's a goddamn violation of all sorts of trade and patent treaties. That could cost Dell something like $400 million, and that's real money for one company to lose, you know? If I was their corporate counsel, I'd be flipping through the yellow pages for Assassins Are Us. Next, they've told us that if we make too big a deal of these minor disagreements, Boeing can forget the 777 order, 28 aircraft they've optioned, in favor of Airbus. What's the trade balance with the PRC now? $78 billion, and it's their way, not ours, as you know. Scott's running this over at Foggy Bottom? Sectrez nodded. And what's this doing to us? Well, it gets our consumers a lot of low-cost goods, about 70% of which is in low-tech stuff, toys, stuffed animals, like that. But Jack, 30% is upscale stuff. That amount's almost doubled in 2.5 years. Pretty soon that's going to start costing us jobs. They're selling a lot of laptops in their country, but they don't let us into the market. Plus selling weapons to people we'd prefer not to have them, POTUS added. They just don't play by the rules, do they? Winston grunted. Not hardly. Suggestions? Jack, either it's a level playing field, or it isn't. They've got to start playing fair with us. Okay, I know, he held his hands up defensively. Their noses are a little out of joint over Taiwan, but that was a good call. You did the right thing punishing them. Those little fucks killed people, and they probably had complicity in our last adventure in the Persian Gulf, and the Ebola attack on us. And so they had it coming. They've got to learn that the world has rules. Sooner or later, they have to learn. George, okay, sit down with Scott and work something out that I can agree to. And we'll have State explain the rules to our friends in Beijing. And who knows, maybe it might even work this time. Not that Ryan would bet money on it. This would be the important evening, Nomori thought. He sat at the bar of the medium-sized restaurant, smoking a cigarette, which was new for the CIA officer. He checked his watch. 9 minutes late. Are you coming, Ming? What are you worrying about that for, asshole, just because you might not get laid tonight? James Bond never had these problems. He felt a gentle tap on his back and turned to see. She wore the radiant smile, pleased with herself at having surprised him.
I am so sorry to be late. Fang kept me in the office late.
So, what do you want for dinner? Nomori asked, and got the best possible answer.
I'm not hungry.
With sparkles in the dark eyes to affirm what she did want. Nomori kissed her passionately before dropping her down on the bed. So, why were you late? She made a face.
Every week, Minister Fang meets with other ministers, and when he comes back, he has me transcribe the notes of the meeting so that he has a record of everything that was said.
Oh, do you use my new computer for that? The question concealed the quivering Jesus he felt throughout his body on hearing Ming's words. This girl could be one hell of a source.
Of course.
Excellent.
Why do you smile?
Because you are pretty. And so she was now, with that particular smile on her face.
You are different from Fang.
Oh? How so?
I think the worst thing a woman can say to a man is, "Are you in yet?" One of the other secretaries said that to Fang once. He beat her. She came into work the next day with black eyes.
Will you say that to me?
Oh, no. You are a sausage, not a string bean,
Ming told him enthusiastically. Do you think it's time for the sausage to find a home?
Oh, yes.
As he rolled on top, Nomori saw two things under him. One was a young woman. The other was a potential agent, with access to political intelligence such as an experienced case officer only dreamed about.